In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, I am so tired of living in fear and desperation about what's going to happen to this nation. I hear it everywhere I go. Christians are afraid. We're afraid to speak out for fear if we do, our neighbors will find us bigoted and narrow-minded. Why do we care? We are afraid to bear glory to our Father's name because we think somebody's going to get us for it. Churches have been convinced since 1954 that they dare not speak out on religious matters because they will lose their 501c3. Do you know that since 1954, when that was enacted, not one church has been sued under the law? Why are we being quiet when God gives us the freedom to speak? And it is protected by the constitution of the land in which we live. It's time to test a crooked law. Okay? It's time for us to stop living in fear and desperation and live in the victory which comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Says the song which I have been quoting to you, there is only one foundation. It is neither Democrat nor Republican or independent. There is only one foundation. We believe.
Amen.
We believe. For us, this is a moment. A moment when the land is filled with doubt and fear. Will we have him or will we have her? And who wants either of them? This is a time of desperation. But we must believe. We may not like the man. We may distrust the woman. But God remains upon the throne. And we believe that he is there. Why then do we live in fear and desperation? Now for the disciples to whom Jesus spoke the words that Paul just read to you from the gospel, it was just such a moment as this. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were not running for office then. But Jesus had just said to his disciples that in a little while he was going away from them and that they would no longer be with him physically. That news filled them with uncertainty and with fear. It was for them a moment of intense desperation. All their hope was on him. And he was going away. So Jesus spoke to them reassuring words. I always love Jesus' reassuring words. Because sometimes I am not sure that they come across as being reassuring. He said, quote, "It's a good thing for you that I'm going away." Now, I am sure that the disciples were incredulous. How could Jesus going away from anybody, particularly from them, be good for them? Remember, too, that the Apostle Paul had not yet written Romans 8:28 when they were hearing this. You all know what Romans 8:28 says, right? If you don't, ask your neighbor. It's important to know that. They didn't have that yet. How could this horrible thing, Jesus going away, be good for them? So Jesus explained. He told them that if he remained with them, the advocate, the counselor, the Holy Spirit would not come. But he said that if he returned to the Father, he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit would do a couple really good things for them. Now, it's like that for us, right? We're at this moment of desperation, this moment of fear. On Tuesday, we all have to go to the polls and vote, right? Okay, and some of us are still struggling with the whole thing about who it is we're going to vote for, what we're going to do. Okay, we look at the possibilities and we conclude and yet God says to us that we are obligated as Christians to do the right thing by voting in this election. And we're like waiting for the phone call. I mean, all the political candidates are calling me. Why can't God? Okay? We're looking for something to come in the mail. Okay? I heard from the post office that Dinneman drove them all crazy because he was doing flat after flat after flat after flat for mail through the post office this week. People, come on. Why can't God just send us a note? Vote for. It's because we need to stand on what we believe. And trust that whatever God does will bring us good, even if we can't see how. It's because we believe. We believe. Now, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would do two essential things when he came. Jesus said that, number one, he would convict the world. Now, the word convict is a funny word because we think when someone is convicted, they know they're guilty. Did you ever watch Judge Judy? Okay, amazes me how at the end of it, she can tell them they're wrong and they can still be unconvicted of their guilt. Oh, they got to pay the fine, but that judge is just an absolute idiot. To be convicted of something means that your guilt is certain, but it does not necessarily imply that you agree with the sentence of the judge. Doesn't mean when Jesus convicts the world of error that they're going to accept his teaching. In fact, we know that they will violently resist the truth. But the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world, that is, to show them that they are guilty. And then the Holy Spirit would lead the followers of Jesus into truth. I think I missed whole pages of this sermon. It's reorganized differently than I thought. I redid it. He would lead the followers of Jesus in the truth. That means literally that he would show Jesus' followers the truth that Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit would do that. He would do that for one reason. He does that for one reason. To convince us to believe. To convince us to trust. To convince us that we don't need to worry because God is truth. He is the only truth. And get this, eventually he wins. Now, it's made clear in the text just read to you that the world is wrong in three specific ways. It's wrong in its understanding in three specific ways. Error number one is that it refuses to accept Jesus as the Son of God. Hear me now. It's the most important part of my message. To reject Jesus Christ as the Son of God, sent by God into the world to save us from sin and death, is the ultimate sin. To deny that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life is to close the gates of heaven to yourself. You do it. You close the gates of heaven. God does not shove them shut. In fact, for the ages, God has been holding the gates of heaven open. He has pushed them open for you to come in. The Spirit speaks to those who do not know Jesus to show them their need for Jesus. But those who continue to reject Jesus, despite the efforts of the Holy Spirit's calling, close the gates of heaven to themselves. The Holy Spirit shows the world that it needs Jesus, that it is helpless without Jesus. He shows the world that the only way into heaven, the only way to the Father, is through Jesus Christ, the Son. The Holy Spirit shows the world that the world needs Jesus. But the world refuses, even now, to believe it. I'll be really honest with you here. Okay? I don't believe either of the persons running for president is Christian. Okay? I don't believe everybody who sits in the church, regardless of the denomination of the church, is a Christian. Okay? I believe that Christians are people from every denomination, from every race, from every clan, all across this world, not just this nation, who know the truth that the Holy Spirit proclaims to the world, that you can't get to heaven on your own. The only way you can get in is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have to believe it. You don't, you're lost. The second error of the world is this. It thinks that it is righteous apart from Jesus. See, the world actually believes that people are good. Now, I'll be honest with you. The best person in the room is me. I know that. The rest of you are far less competent at living your life correctly than am I. Okay? But I am a dirty, rotten sinner. And if the best of us is nothing more than a dirty, rotten sinner, what's that make the rest of you? See, the point is that the world thinks people are good, but the Scripture says there's not one of us who's good. No, not even you. So if you're sitting there thinking that you are good enough to earn heaven for yourself, that you're going to somehow get in because you knew Aunt Mabel, if you've got this all worked out in your mind through some other door than Jesus Christ, you are lost. Now, let me just take a poll just to get this straight. Okay? How many sins does it take to ruin perfection? One. Is there anybody here guilty of at least one sin? Then according to the Scripture, you are lost. Because that one sin did you in, you don't have the price of eternal life. Okay, now let me ask this one. Is there anybody here who is not guilty of at least one sin? Now, I know you're all too, those of you who think that, think you're really good by nature, are not going to raise your hand now. Okay? I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says. Thank you, because I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says he is. A fool and a liar. Thank you. And I got to tell you something. If you're lying, even to yourself, you just did it. You shut yourself out of heaven. The Holy Spirit has, from the time it first came, after Jesus' ascension, been showing the world that it is full of sinners who are helpless without Jesus and who cannot save themselves. The Holy Spirit has been saying to people throughout time that the only way to the heaven, the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. Only Jesus can set you free from your sins. And the world's arrow, number three, the world does not know, doesn't believe the end of the story. I'd love to tell it. Ready? Satan loses. The prince of this world, Satan, the devil, stands already before the throne of Almighty God, condemned. He is, even now, as good as dead. Any minute, my microphone's going to come out, the ceiling's going to fall. He's going to try to shut me up for telling you the truth. Let him come. I stand in the power of Jesus Christ and I am safe. Satan is not my hope. He cannot bring hope to this world. He can't take this nation. Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus wins. And we believe. Now, the first function of the Holy Spirit was to show the world its error. Those of the world might still persist in their error. They might reject the message of the Spirit, but the Spirit has proclaimed it to them. And the second thing that the Holy Spirit does is come to us and lead us into truth. He leads the church into truth. The text says that the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own. He doesn't make anything up for himself. He only tells us what Jesus has told him to tell us. The text says that the Holy Spirit makes the teachings of Jesus clear to us. That is, he explains things to us which are far too deep for us to ever get on our own. The text says that the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, always glorifies Jesus. Always glorifies Jesus. Paul says that no one speaking in the Spirit of God can say Jesus Christ be cursed. It means that no one who is speaking in the Spirit of God can speak contrary to the revealed will of God. And if they do, they are not speaking with the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always agrees with Jesus and always speaks praise to the name of Jesus. What the Spirit tells us, what the Spirit is whispering in our ears at every moment of fear and desperation, what the Spirit says to us now, 2 days before this election, is not to trust our emotions. Not even to believe what we think we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. The Holy Spirit is telling us, who are the children of the Father, that we need to trust what we believe. And what do we believe? We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus the Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that through it he conquered death. We believe in his resurrection, and we know the truth. We believe he's coming back again. We believe, and it is our faith which is more real to us than our emotions or our feelings, which determines everything about our lives. We trust that God will bring us good through every experience life throws in our way. We believe the Holy Spirit is over us, that he has come to us today, and that he has told us truth. We believe. We believe. Say it with me. We believe. Amen.